Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, June the 15th, 2026. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you, and Ed Battagliano's in the studio with me. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Howdy, howdy.
Listen, folks, we got Frank Turek coming up at the bottom of the hour. So if you get tired of us, Frank is on the way at the bottom of the hour.
Help is on the way.
Help is on the way. Other than that, there's nobody else because Chris is out and Steve Paisley Jordahl's out, right?
Fred? Yeah, yeah. We've got kind
Wesley's
of
out.
Yeah, Wesley's gone.
Ray traveling. Ray Pritchard's out.
Ray, yeah. Ray's out. So
it's we three.
What do they think it is, summer?
I know. We got people taking vacations and traveling here and there. You know, Ray's developed an attitude. So we got different issues that we're dealing with here.
Yeah. It's not easy.
In this show. So anyway, we look forward to talking to our friend, Dr. Frank Turek, who we haven't talked to in a while, coming up at the bottom of the hour. So much news to talk about. The President of the United States, is he already in France?
He's arrived.
Okay, they're having the G7. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is there. Is he wearing a black tie today? I've never seen him wear a black tie. If that it is. Is it, look at that.
Okay,
that's like a unicorn.
Huh? you don't ever.
No,
see
he
that?
Wears a red tie 4 out of 5 days, and then he'll throw
a
blue one in there. But I've never seen a black tie worn by President Donald Trump. So anyway, his clothing doesn't matter. It's what he's there to discuss with world leaders. Is it called the G7?
G7, yes.
Okay, Fred, for an AFR Trivia Friday t-shirt, name me the seven nations that make up the G7.
Do I get points for being close?
Sure, Fred. We'll give you points for being close.
Just how close does he have to be?
Give me six, Fred.
All right.
Six of the seven.
United States.
One.
Canada.
Okay, two.
Germany.
Three.
France.
Four.
Britain.
Five.
Japan.
Six.
All right, I made it to six.
You made it to six.
One more?
Italy.
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Of course you left Italy out. I'm not even sure how we squeaked in, but
so seven. So that's the G7.
That's the G7.
Yeah. Now sometimes they have meetings of world economic meetings of a larger number of nations, right?
Yeah. The World Economic Council usually meets in Davos.
Yeah.
And that's always.
I've never been invited to that, but no. I hear they have a good time.
And then the Bilderberg group that meets underground in some some hollowed out cavern. They meet to run the world too.
Uh-huh. All right. We'll let you get to that a little bit later.
And don't forget the Masons.
We'll get to that too. In infant baptism.
No, we're not getting.
You
want to
get
of
into
those.
That one? How about speaking in tongues?
No.
Okay. All right, Fred and I
are going
to take a coffee break and let you handle all these hot-button issues. So how about that
one? Ed's got an editorial on women pastors.
Okay. No, not that either.
All right, so we want to, before we jump into the news of the day, we've got a 10 to 20, would you say?
This is a family discussion with our listeners.
Yeah, we're about to have an open discussion here.
Yeah.
Family discussion. What'd you say, Brent? Okay. Anyway, enough people have emailed us to say they are disappointed in Tim. I'm talking third person now, primarily, but you guys are mentioned too.
Everyone. Oh, yeah.
So negativity toward President Trump. That's the issue here.
Yeah.
And something called SARCA. SM, which I'm being accused of.
Sarcasm?
Is that what? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sarcastic in itself. But I do apologize for some of my sarcasm. Sarcasm can be used, and we all, most people do use it from time to time. But
I've been known to be sarcastic.
But I probably overdo it a little bit sometimes.
No.
You think?
See, that was sarcastic.
But you know what, folks? It's so that being said, an apology being said.
We've agreed to talk about this.
We've agreed to talk
minutes.
About this. It's very difficult in our position here as a talk show and one that tries to maintain a overtly Christian worldview network and talk show. And but with President Trump, I'll say this on the other side, you can't criticize him at all, hardly, without some people getting upset because they view him as God's anointed choice to be the leader of the country, and he's trying his best, and he already gets attacked by the liberal news media day after day after day. And
right.
All that is true. Uh-huh. All that is true. So when they hear us criticize President Trump, they view us as piling on with the secular media and hurting his efforts. That's the viewpoint of some in our listening audience. But then there are some who say, hey, you need to keep pointing out that he's dissing Israel, and that's not good
right.
from a biblical perspective. So, Ed, your time to talk here.
Well, listen, first of all, I want to remind people that let me just toss up two or three things right off the top of my head here, because we just agreed to talk about this just before we come on the air.
Right.
So we haven't had a lot of time to prepare. So first of all, I want to remind people that, as Tim said, this is a talk show and it's an opinion talk show. So we're talking about our opinion. We don't have an agenda against President Trump like the mainstream media.
Right, good point.
All right. So second of all, it's illegal for us to be the lapdog for either political party.
Right.
Okay? Because we're a nonprofit. So that doesn't enter into it. We say what we think.
Right.
Without, you know, reference or deference to the IRS. Third, it's a Christian talk show. So, and it's a Christian network. So we're going to present things from a Christian perspective, and sometimes that is going to run cross-grain to the Republican Party or what conservatives are doing. So having said those kind of things, let me just give my personal opinion. I think Donald Trump was picked by God to be the president. I do think he is could be a transformational president. I think God is using him as a foil, F-O-I-L, to kind of manifest a lot of what has gone on for a long time, both political parties in D.C. I like 90%, 95% of what President Trump has been doing. Having said that, this has been a difficult term for him. I've had some concerns with, for example, whether he has constitutional authority to do the tariffs. I think we should be allowed to say that because once President Trump leaves, I trust President Trump when he started slapping tariffs. I think what he was trying to point out was
And he slapped them.
He slapped them.
Yeah, slapped them.
He was trying to point out the unfairness with which America's been treated for a long, long time. Agree with it. But once President Trump is out of office, somebody else is going to be in office. We need to maintain constitutional guardrails on the presidency. I have been a little bit critical. I have sometimes a lot critical with this Iran war. You know, that's gone on for 3 months, and that has drawn probably more negativity from us here on the show than normal. I think that has frustrated some of our listeners. Okay, but this is a big deal, people. We can't just simply say everything the president does
right.
is okay. All right. And we're being honest. We don't have an agenda. And that's the thing I want to try to drive home to the people who are disappointed in any criticism of President Trump. We don't have an agenda. I want President Trump to succeed. And he is not only, he's not the only one making these decisions. He has people around him who are advising him. And so criticisms of foreign policy decisions and wars that could spread and cause a lot of deaths is a valid thing for us to talk about, I think. And so I just want to encourage, and we'll let Fred talk a little bit here too. We're just asking folks, people have emailed us and said, pray for President Trump. Well, do you pray for us? We're asking you to pray for us as well. We're not piling on. We are most of the time just saying what we think the president should or should not do. And that's the purpose of the program. And all I can say is, you know, I think we all love President Trump. We want him to succeed because we want America to succeed. But nobody does everything the right way, I guess, which is why people are sometimes criticizing us.
Yeah, I just look back over our coverage over the last 10 years.
Very positive.
Very positive. You stop to think about when he was in office, President Trump, his first term. We were all praise for just about everything he did. And then when he was out of office and Joe Biden was president, we dumped all over Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And the way that the legal system treated Donald Trump at that time.
That's a good point.
We did shows about that unending because right. there was 4 years of just horrible treatment of Donald Trump. So he gets elected to office now, and I agree with you guys. I mean, God has allowed him another term in office. But that doesn't mean everything he does is perfect.
Right.
Because he's a man. And he makes mistakes. To be honest, I have been particularly troubled over the last 3 months or so of his comments about Prime Minister Netanyahu, about the way he's treated Israel. And he said about Prime Minister Netanyahu, I told him I'm the boss and he's going to do anything I tell him to do.
Right.
Wait a minute. Prime Minister Netanyahu is defending his country against terrorists who are parked on his back doorstep.
Right.
What do you expect us to say?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, we have to point out what is, I believe, extremely, I'll put it this way, extremely unfair comments about Prime Minister Netanyahu. Sometimes it has felt like all that matters to President Trump is that a win for the United States and is Israel gets in the way, we're going to toss them aside. That is very dangerous spiritually, folks.
Right. I think for our country.
For our country. It really is. Genesis chapter 12. You need, and we are a Christian organization. We are a biblically based organization, and we're not going to compromise on that standard just to make some people happy about not saying anything negative about President Trump.
And let me just toss in here. I hope President Trump succeeds in all these endeavors. I hope that Venezuela is able to turn around. I hope that Cuba is able to be freed. I don't want Canada as our 51st state. We kind of joked around about that. I'd like something to be done with Greenland. I hope President Trump gets the win of the century in terms of Iran. Mm-hmm. Okay. I hope I think what President Trump wanted to accomplish in Iran was a worthy goal. Okay. So I'm not rooting against him. I want him to succeed, but we can disagree about the path to that. And so I just listen, I hope our listeners still think of us as a family. I'm guessing when you meet at Thanksgiving, there's people that you love that you disagree with on certain topics.
Other than turkey.
And you can still love them when the meal is over. I hope people will grant us that here on today's issues.
Well, one other thing, and this is just personal. This is me personally, and not I'm not speaking for anybody else. I can.
Right.
But I'm not going to.
It depends what you're about to say, though.
I'm not going to. I have a particular problem. It sticks in my craw. Is it claw or craw?
Craw.
Okay, yeah. In my craw. I don't know what a craw is exactly, where it is in your body, but it sticks there. The way that President Trump treats people publicly is oftentimes it's very, he goes to the lowest common denominator, and he does it very quickly. And I pointed that out before, and I thought people just want to stick their hands in their ear and not hear it. I think that deserves critique because it reflects on the character of the person. And so I have a problem with that. A lot of people don't. They don't care. Hey, you know, they don't care. Or they will say, well, he's, when you say, well, he's, you know, dissed somebody or lied about somebody, and he's told fibs on about people publicly. You know, he called Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, the worst governor in America, or something to that effect. He called Thomas Massey, made fun of him. You remember that? Mm-hmm. On a personal way. So he can go down and dirty. Uh-huh. Trump can.
And that has bothered you. It's bothered. I'm sure it bothers most of our listeners when he does
that. Yeah, so if you oppose him in any way, get ready for being called low IQ, like Marjorie Greene Taylor,
yeah,
or somebody like that. So that part of him bothers me almost more than anything else, is the way he behaves and talks about people publicly, and his open profanity. He's just, I'm talking about words, and I know words, sticks and stones, I know that.
Yeah.
But that bothers me when he does that kind of thing. I know he's not the first president to curse.
Right.
but he does so on his Truth Social and in interviews now, F-bombs, yeah, and things of that nature. I'm just going, if you can't criticize that part of it without people thinking you hate Donald Trump, then I don't see that as a fair criticism of us. You see, yep, what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and you know, when you put a picture up of you being dressed like Jesus Christ,
yeah,
healing people, and then when we say, well, that's blasphemous, then people say, oh, don't criticize President Trump. He didn't mean that. Or you see what?
Yeah, all we're asking people is to understand this is not part of an anti-Trump agenda.
No,
and I think that's unfair to say that we're no
but
better.
You can't
than
be a lapdog either.
Yeah.
You know,
we're not like the mainstream media. We don't have an agenda. We don't want to see him fail.
No,
but we do have to be honest about our opinions. I understand some people don't want to hear anything critical about
right.
the president. I respect that, you know, but, you know, well, we don't want people to stop listening.
Here's what you'll get sometimes from well-meaning people, I think. You'll get, if you say anything critical, they'll say, well, you just need to pray for him. That's their answer. Don't be negative, just pray for him. How do you answer that one, Dad?
It's a talk show. It's a talk show. This sounds weird. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea.
Right.
This is not a prayer program. This
right.
is a talk show about current events.
Right.
So we've got to talk about the most important things that are happening.
Right.
The best of our ability to put them in some sort of order. Some stories are more important than others. We're not going to spend the 90 minutes praying. People say, well, you're a Christian. Well, I personally pray for the president. Okay. I prayed for Joe Biden when he was president. Okay. This is a talk show. I want to encourage our listeners, tune in to try to learn something, even if it's a different perspective. Though I think the worst thing in the world would be for people to turn in to hear what they expect to hear and they want to hear because they already believe it. Maybe we can all learn something from opinions that are different than our own.
Well, for example, when President Trump goes to China and calls the leader of communist China you're a great leader, he says, and then comes home and says Congressman Thomas Massey's a terrible human being.
Yeah, right. We got to say something about
okay.
that. Huh? It doesn't mean we're trying to undermine the president.
Right. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Go, Fred.
All right, as we said, President Trump is now in France for the opening of the G7 meeting. He just arrived there about 45 minutes ago after flying overnight, after the boxing match at the White House, the celebration of his 80th birthday, by the way.
It wasn't boxing, Fred.
Happy birthday. It wasn't. I'm sorry.
No, it was wrestling? Called Mixed martial arts.
MMA. Okay. All right.
All right, people, here you go. You're going to say, Tim, get off Fred's back. And was I out of line there to correct Fred on boxing? Boxing is its own sport, right?
No, it's a different. It's
Fred, are you offended? Fred, are you offended?
Not
they're
at just, all.
Okay.
They're distinct all right,
like,
sports.
Could care it, less it, what it, happened it, in that ring.
Okay. It was multiple MMA fights. That's yep. what. And that's when. It's more than boxing. They use their legs, and they try to beat people into ground beef.
Yeah. So at the same time, he celebrated his 80th birthday. Happy birthday, President
right.
Trump.
Amen.
He's absolutely amazing what he can do at 80 years of age.
Yeah.
So he gets on, after all that's over, he gets on an airplane and flies all night and arrives just 45 minutes ago in France. But the big news from yesterday was the memorandum of understanding that was announced. That if the administration gets everything they want, will bring an end, supposedly, hopefully, to the conflict with Iran. Right now, this memorandum of understanding, brokered mainly by Pakistan, starts with the simultaneous lifting of Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz and the U.S. blockade of Iran's ports. Now, this is supposed to be signed into place on Friday, when the president is in Geneva. That's what's supposed to happen. Now,
wait a minute, the president himself?
Yes.
Because at first he had said, I'm sending Vice President Vance.
Yeah, but the word this morning is he's going to hang around after the G7 and be there for the signing of this. That's the word this morning. Once that is done, once that is signed in place, the two sides will then enter a 60-day period of negotiations over Iran's nuclear program and the potential lifting of sanctions. That according to various press reports this morning. But the big deal that a lot of people are excited about right now is hopefully seeing the end of that blockade and the what's been going on in the Strait of Hormuz that has affected gas prices, oil prices, et cetera, et cetera. The markets are reacting very positively to this morning.
Go,
very
market,
happy about
go.
It. The price of a barrel of oil has already gone down in some places, $5-6 a barrel. So people are excited. They want this to succeed. But, you know, there's questions and debate this morning about, okay, how are you going to verify if Iran says yes, we are no longer treating uranium to get it to the point where it can be used in nuclear weapons. Questions are being asked. Who's going to verify that? How is it going to be verified? Who's going to go in there? And can we trust the Iranians? Those questions are being asked. There's also some discussion this morning about what do you mean we're going to lift sanctions on Iran? What does that entail? Some people are saying, isn't that the same thing that Barack Obama did in a different way? So they're, again, talking about questions being raised. We're just bringing those questions that are being raised to our audience. There's more to be unveiled as time goes on in this. But right now, the administration's very excited about this, and we hope. The other thing that is not mentioned so far, you'll remember, early on, there was hope that there would be regime change in Tehran. There is no talk about that this morning, none whatsoever. So the people who have been...
Well, there's not going to be regime change in Iran unless the people of Iran have a revolution.
Yes.
And that would require support from the branch of the military not controlled by the IRGC.
Right.
That's a long shot.
Yeah. IRGC,
the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps.
The IRGC, but they're also a big insurance company.
IRGC?
IRGC. Yeah. You're safe with IRGC. Have you never heard that?
No, I haven't heard that. Yeah.
All right, well, we return with Dr. Frank Turek coming up momentarily. Stay with us.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com/AFR.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We are going to Italy in March of 2027. We're also going to Greece in March of 2027. And we're doing those tours back to back if you want to do both of them. In Italy, we'll be going to Venice, we'll ride the gondola and see all the sights there. And we'll go to Pisa and walk on the Leaning Tower of. If you fall off, we're not responsible. Also, we're going to Rome and see the Sistine Chapel and the Colosseum and all the catacombs. We'll see all the sights of Rome. And in Greece, it's the Footsteps of Paul trip. So the places where Paul went in the Bible mentioned in Greece. If you want information on any of these tours, go to tours.afa.net. Tours.afa.net. Tours.afa.net.
We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 9.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, we're just happy to be here, folks. We are absolutely glad that we can bring you news and information from a Christian perspective each and every day here on today's issues. And we're going to continue to do that with the best of our ability, aren't we, Ed?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Best of our ability, and that may explain why we're subpar sometimes.
All right.
I did want to say, yes. I didn't watch the match last night at the White House.
Yeah, the matches.
The boxing match?
Yeah, I didn't watch it because I was watching a more gentle sport.
Oh, hockey. Hockey. Hey, Stanley Cup's over with now, right?
It's over. Congratulations.
That didn't take long. How many games
to the Hurricanes?
Carolina Hurricanes won in 6 games, beating the Vegas Golden Knights.
Hey, we got a guest on from North Carolina.
Oh, he's probably all over this.
Yeah, our good friend Dr. Frank Turek. Good morning, Brother Frank.
Well, you know, growing up in New Jersey,
yes,
I was always a Knicks fan. I kind of did not watch the NBA for about the past 20 years, but I did watch some of the finals. And, man, Brunson is amazing, isn't he?
When they win, they get a bandwagon.
No, I mean, he's too short.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He can't play.
Yeah, you're talking about the player for the New York Knicks. What's his first name?
Jalen Brunson.
Jalen, but yeah, that guy's phenomenal. I watched the series, the Knicks and the Spurs, and you got this – Hulking, 7'4", 7'5", guy.
French center.
Yeah. Hey, he's a great player, but Brunson for the Knicks is 6'2".
Yeah.
And he just schooled those guys. All these.
That's the first championship for the New York Knicks in 53 years. Is that what you said?
That's the last time they won. Willis Reed, Walt Frazier.
And that was a great team. Dave DeBuscher.
Wasn't Earl the Pearl Monroe on there?
Earl the Pearl may have gotten on there about that time, maybe just after that. Yeah.
You know how much taller the basketball players have gotten because of evolution?
Nutrition.
Nutrition. Listen, over the years, our basketball players have always been, quote, tall as it relates to the general population. But the New York Knicks... They had a Earl the Pearl Monroe was 6'3". Uh-huh. I remember this because I watched him. I was a fan too. Walt Clyde Frazier was 6'4". Those were the guards.
Yep.
Guards today are 6'8". Okay.
Yeah.
In the NBA for the
not Jalen Brunson.
That's right. He's 6'2".
You know, Tim, their radio announcer when they won said there was no deficit too big or guard too small.
Well,
because they came back from that,
I know,
the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history.
You don't think that was rigged? Yeah, come on, guys, come on.
And then the Hurricanes here in Carolina.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, the Hurricanes. You got to admit, there's something not right by using the words Carolina and Stanley Cup champions in the same. They're just not supposed to happen like that.
Well, come on. You got the Florida team that won
several times. I know.
Yeah, Florida Panthers from Miami.
Yeah.
And then the Tampa Bay Lightning won a couple.
Right,
so
right.
Times changed.
So the Northern teams need to get back reclaiming their sport.
And the poor Canadians.
Don't hold your breath.
Okay.
Don't hold your breath. The Canadian, you know. A little defensive here.
Yeah.
The Canadians teams have a rough time competing financially.
Because of their high tax rate.
Oh, the dollar difference right now is like 0.40. So can you blame a Canadian player wanting to come to the United States?
And going to a Florida team. This is a real thing.
Yes.
With no income tax.
Yes, exactly.
So you can spend your winters in Montreal or you can spend them in Miami.
Yes.
You pick.
Making a whole lot more money.
So those are realities.
That's what they call a no-brainer. All right.
That a score.
Well, true. What have you been up to, Frank? Now that the summer's here, you're not going to college campuses?
Not colleges. Been going to churches and doing some other events. I was at Prestonwood in Dallas yesterday. It's a great church. You may know Jack Graham's pastor down there.
Yes.
And we're going.
What were you doing? What did you speak on there?
Oh, well, we actually talked about a lot of things. It was me, Jack, and Dr. Jeremiah Johnston, and we talked about the founding of the country. We talked about what happened with Charlie Kirk. We talked about the resurrection.
And, hey, did you see Kirby Anderson? Kirby goes to church there, I think.
No, I didn't see Kirby. I didn't see him. Yeah. Of course, there's only like 10,000 people that go there, though. So,
right.
You know, I may have missed him.
Well, he's part of the Anderson clan that lives there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Well, so we wanted to get your take on the situation with Iran. I know you traveled in that part of the world and follow it. What do you think about where we are with this these negotiations and this – What's happened so far, this memorandum of understanding, and then we're supposed to get into negotiating what they're going to do about their nuclear program.
One of the problems is it's very difficult, if not impossible, to negotiate and trust a group whose ideology says you can lie to the infidel. And that is their ideology. So I know Trump thinks he can negotiate with anyone, but that's just not true. I mean, how are they going to hold up their end of the deal? Their end of the deal is to subvert whatever the United States wants. And until there's regime change there, probably nothing's going to happen. Now, how can you get regime change? I don't know. I'm just saying I'm not confident that any deal you negotiate with an Islamic Shiite government like them is worth the paper it's written on. And by the way, we don't even know what's in the deal because the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, hasn't been released yet. So we're all speculating as to what's in it.
Well, yeah. Go ahead. So the situation is this. There is a memorandum of understanding, and that's different than an agreement, formal agreement. But President Trump says the formal agreement is supposed to, peace agreement, is supposed to be signed Friday.
In Geneva.
In Geneva, if all goes according to plan.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess at that time we'll find out exactly what was in it. President Ronald Reagan, in dealing with the Soviet Union, said this, and we all, most people know this quote. With regard to an agreement with a communist country and Soviet Union, which a lot of their dealings were had to do with deception, right? I mean, that's they have no problem with lying because it's a part of getting to their ultimate objective. I'm talking about atheistic states like the former Soviet Union. But President Trump said, we're going to trust but verify. And I think I would like to hear those words from President Trump to trust but verify, and then tell us how we're going to verify, if in fact you can. I don't know exactly what do you, you know, do you have our nuclear scientists stay at the Holiday Inn in Tehran? And, you know, I'm not sure exactly. Now, I will say this, Mossad, the Israeli equivalent of our CIA, and our CIA, we do have ways of knowing what's going on in Iran. That's how we knew where they were enriching their uranium in the first place. So that's how we knew what was going on and how close they were to developing a nuclear weapon. So we do have spies. We have intelligence. So that is a way to verify. But I'm like Frank, I don't trust the Iranian regime. They haven't changed their ideology of hatred for the U.S., hatred for Israel. But you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, Tim, you know, this is one aspect of our Constitution they don't have, and that is the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was designed to prevent a despotic government from overpowering the will of the people. The reason that regime change hasn't happened there yet is because people don't have weapons over there. It's not until the army turns on the mullahs is that going to change. The Second Amendment is not to protect your right to go deer hunting, okay? Right. The Second Amendment is there to protect the citizens from a despotic government. They don't have that in Iran. And so the people there are at the mercy of the folks who are in power. And I don't know if that's going to change. And until maybe the army stops getting paid and fed, nothing's going to change.
Right. And then they could have a coup, sort of a reverse coup to what happened with the Islamic Revolution.
Yes.
Then when they threw out the Shah and replaced it with the mullahs, the Ayatollah Khomeini. Well,
courtesy of Jimmy Carter, by the way.
That was a disaster.
He was the one that green-lighted that, yeah.
Hey, let me ask another question here, Frank. Because generally, I'm always quick to say I don't trust communists, okay? But I trust communist China a little bit more than I trust the mullahs, simply because and this is the same thing with the Soviet
mullahs
Union.
Being the leaders of Iran.
Yes.
Okay.
That at least when you have communist leaders, they do want to survive. They do want to stay in power. They don't want nuclear war. But it seems to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and then please maybe do a little quick teaching to our listening audience about this kind of Islamic revolutionary ideology that is rooted in Iran. They, as far as I understand, their way of looking at the world, they call it 12-er, the 12th imam, the 12-er imam Shia theology, they expect nuclear war or some sort of chaotic result in the Middle East, and that's why they funnel all this money to these terrorist organizations. Am I right about that? Which would mean that I trust them even less than I do communists because it seems like they want the Middle East to burn. Am I right about that or
wrong? Yes. Some of them think that they can bring in the end times by creating a global conflict. And it turns out that their so-called savior is our Antichrist.
Yeah, you know,
they think that if they, not all of them, but some in the Shia community think that they can bring forth the end times and the 12th imam by creating a global conflict.
Yeah.
And so I think if they ever do really get a nuke, they will use it. And
yes.
By the way, every president has said that. That's not just Trump. I mean, that goes back. Obama said the same. They all said the same thing, right? we know that we can't allow them to get a nuke. Now, that's what this MOU is supposed to do, but the devil is always in the details. We haven't seen the details, so we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, we'll know Friday.
Yeah, we might, and it could be that, you know, Trump is trying to get oil prices down in time for the midterms, and then
such a cynic.
Yeah, it could be. It really could be.
You know what?
And then after the midterms, if they have reneged on the deal, they're going right back in. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we will know. The world will know the details, I think, on Friday, because it'll have to be. It's going to be a formal agreement that's signed by both parties, the Iranian leadership, whoever's going to sign for them, and the president himself.
This could politically work for Republicans, and here's why I say that. Because whatever this deal is, if in fact it is signed on Friday and we get some details, I think from the perspective of the Iranian regime, they need some time to build back their economic funds, their military. I think this would work to keep Iran behaving past the midterms. Because they do need time to rebuild. One of the things that President Trump accomplished, and the U.S. military did this in devastating fashion, is they seriously degraded the ability of Iran to wage war.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. So they need time to rebuild their military infrastructure. So I think they would at least behave themselves for the next, who knows, next 6 months, next year. Okay, so that would be a positive for conservatives in this country to maybe get the economy going in the right direction and perhaps stave off devastating results in the midterms.
So we keep saying that the belief, and this is true, the belief system of the Shia Islamic religion, which is what Iran is under, they believe in, it's a very apocalyptic view. They need to usher in, they can do certain things in the world, the Iranians can, the Shia Muslims can, to bring in the 12th Imam, right?
Some of them believe that.
It's a faction of Shia religion.
So, for an AFR t-shirt, Frank, name Imam number 7.
Well, I have a harder question for you.
And it's not, his name is not Bill, okay?
I have a more difficult question for you.
Okay, go.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You've grown up in Mississippi, maybe you can answer this.
Oh.
And I don't know if I've asked you this question before, but when a dairy cow fails to give its milk, is it a milk dud or an utter failure?
You've been hanging around J.J. Jasper too much, I think. Bada boom.
I would like to say Musa al-Kazim was clearly the 7th imam. I don't know who doesn't know this.
You type Mr. Google?
Musa al-Kazim, also known as Musa ibn Jafar al-Kazim, was the 7th imam.
Also known as Moose.
You know, he was
Moose, baby.
He was really good MMA guy right there.
He was born in 745 AD.
Right. So, anyway, all right, Frank. Well, what do you got coming up? Do you know yet what you got coming up?
We're going to have the great Nick Freitas on this weekend.
No way.
Nick is. You know who Nick is, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, man, you got to go online. The guy has like 3 million followers. He's a conservative, used to be in the Virginia delegates, former Green Beret. He's out of the Virginia House now. And he
3 million real, followers.
Something like that. He has a lot of homespun wisdom.
That's more than the 7th Imam.
From the Bible.
He was in the Virginia House of Delegates, wasn't he?
He was.
You recognize the picture. You've seen this guy, Nick Freitas.
Yeah, so anyway, you're having him on. What are you going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of his homespun wisdom that has a lot of people excited. You know,
okay.
He just gets right to the point. Nick Freitas.
All right, looking forward to it. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist radio show.
Correct.
Which airs Saturdays and Sundays right here on American Family Radio. Saturdays at 9 a.m. Central Time, and then Sunday afternoon at what time? 4 o'clock Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Dr. Frank Turek. So be sure to tune into that. We have a great lineup on Saturdays. So we have a great lineup all the time.
Every day.
Yeah. All right, Frank, take care, my friend. Appreciate you being on with us.
Hey, nobody answered. Is it a milk dud or an utter failure? What is it?
I'm going to go utter failure.
Okay.
An utter failure.
All right.
Okay. What do you say? What is a dairy cow that doesn't produce milk?
That's right.
Okay.
It's a milk dud or an utter failure.
I have to remember that one.
I mean, that's kind of getting in JJ territory there, Frank.
Frank even knows who JJ, but they may know each other.
I don't know him.
All right.
You don't know JJ Jasper?
I heard of him, but. Yeah,
Their paths wouldn't have crossed necessarily. Yeah. So, all right. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
By the way, guys, there's something going on in our country right now called the World Cup or something.
Soccer.
What? Well, I don't know. By the way, you're listening to, if you're wondering what show you're listening to, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're here every Monday through Friday. Fridays we have our trivia show. Tim, Ed, and Fred here today. Tim, Ed, and Fred. So this World Cup is a big deal, and it's going on in America.
Okay.
Well, Ed, one thing, Ed, that I'm going to, if we can just be honest here, your sarcasm is really disturbing.
Yes, that was sarcastic. Okay. There are a lot of soccer fans probably amongst our listeners.
And we don't want to lose them.
No, we don't.
So can you dial it back a little bit?
I'll dial it back, okay. I promise. Anyway, World Cup, baby.
This World Cup is going on. I just say that because America, there's a lot of things that pull our attention, right?
Yeah.
And not everybody's a soccer fan.
Right.
But it's soccer is the number one sport around the world.
Yes, it is.
And it's kind of like the Olympics of soccer, basically. Once every 4 years, the world gets together someplace, and they have this tournament. And what's pretty cool about it is that every country sends their team. And so you have countries of 3 million people playing against countries of 300 million people. It's unfair in that regard.
Right.
But that's just the way it is. Every country sends its team. And so I don't know. How long does it last? Like 2 weeks, 3 weeks? How long do you know, Fred?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay. Ed knows. Ed, type into Google, how long does World Cup tournament last, and see what it says, because we may have the
12th. Because it's in the United States.
Yeah, we established that. Okay. Last 3 minutes.
All right, I'm trying to catch up.
Yes, okay.
Wow, the 2026 FIFA?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
World Cup. It's not FIFA, right?
I had a dog named
that. This is pretty sad.
Come here, FIFA.
Because I don't even, that's how little I follow. Is it FIFA or FIFA?
It's either one.
This is... I know, folks. I know there's groans. Is the longest in history, lasting 39 days from June 11 to July 19.
Because I was wrong about 2 weeks.
The duration exceeds the previous record of 32 days held by the 2014 and 2018 tournaments due to the tournament's expansion to 48 teams and 104 matches.
Now, they're playing in three countries,
yeah,
aren't they?
Canada, Mexico. The U.S., and Mexico.
Yeah.
But I think the finals will be in New York City whenever the finals get here.
Oh, okay. So this is in three countries.
Yeah,
right.
It's
so
a North
some of
American
them are
deal.
Only some of them are in the U.S.
But the U.S., as far as I know, just never – we flame out in soccer for some reason, even though we got millions of kids that play soccer here. We just never have advanced that I can remember to the finals. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I will say this. And it's FIFA. Okay.
Is
so
it FIFA?
I just looked it up.
All right.
I have been noting on X that people are posting videos, people from other countries who have come to the U.S.
Yes.
That's why I thought it was only in the U.S. But they're talking about how America is not like they expected, because especially Europeans, because they were told that the U.S. is, you know, it's violent, it's dirty, it's backwards, and they're just amazed at what American culture is like, not at all what they expected. So I have been paying attention to those videos.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But it's really got nothing to do
with it.
So-called sport
of soccer. It reflects positively on the U.S.
Yeah.
When we have foreigners come here and travel around, and they like it.
Yeah.
And they like seeing the USA. And we're a big country.
That's one of the things I've noted. A lot of videos, people come and they don't understand how – they never really understood how big this country is and how big the individual states are, by and large.
Right.
Places like New Jersey and, you know, Rhode Island aren't necessarily that big. But, you know, you can go in a matter of hours just about anywhere in Europe.
Right.
But hours in states here in the
From
U.S.
From sea to shining sea is a pretty good distance.
That's a pretty good – pretty fur piece.
Yep. All right, you are listening to today's issues. Fred,
by the way, are we still in it? Is the U.S. still in it, soccer-wise?
I would assume you're
good. I think we've only played one game.
Yeah,
this is
hopefully we hadn't
highlighted
out of
my
it already.
Ignorance.
Right,
as if I needed another sample.
But who's highlighting your ignorance?
I am.
That's what I'm going to say. I'm not. You can control some things in your life, Ed.
Just keep your mouth shut. That's what you're saying.
That and quit
the Bible talks about that.
Right.
Just keep your mouth shut and removing all doubt. Something like that. There's some saying. You can be thought a fool, or you can open your mouth and remove all doubt. Something like that.
It's in the message.
That's in Proverbs thing. All right, we're going to take a break right here. Be back with more of today's issues. We got 25 more minutes to go, and we got some more topics to get to. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.